previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
All right, I'm going to alter this one a little bit because I saw it and I'm like, oh, I have to ask him this. Now, the question is, tell me three things you remember about kindergarten, but we're obviously going to go with second grade instead.
Kindergarten, I got my first kiss.
Oh. Hello.
Three things about second grade.
Wait, should we go back to the kiss? I mean, that sounds much more interesting. Welcome back to the Loyal Littles podcast.
On the WTFC podcast network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, hey Littles. Live from Owensboro, Kentucky, Roxy.
Wow.
Where the hell am I?
Middle of nowhere.
Well, I've actually played here before. So did you play here?
No.
Oh, okay. We teched White Christmas here 1 year, so I know it well. But wow, in the middle of nowhere. It'll be fun, I'm sure. Gotten some great feedback about the last episode. Lots of things to get into. But you know what came to mind, and we're going to start with an apology here. I don't know what to say, but it's almost like not our fault either. But you looked it up for me. I felt horrible because I knew we were like all of a sudden we're in the middle of October, and I'm like, wasn't that wiffle ball tournament happening in October? And it was like the first week of October, wasn't it?
Oh shoot, I think so.
Now, who was that? That was you said you have his name, right?
Yeah, that was Dave Schramm, episode 225.
Yeah, Dave Schramm. Why didn't you get in touch? We could have plugged it. You know, we could have done some stuff. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure the outreach of Littles up in that area is not great. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I completely forgot about that. And I feel bad about that because I know we said we'd talk about it when it got closer. And I don't remember how that just popped into my head, but I was feeling really bad about it. So how did it go? We hope it made a ton of money and because it was definitely for charity. And it was they called it Little Fenway, right?
Yeah, it was at the home of Little Fenway.
Right. So, Roxy, we wanted to clear something up. We had some questions about who the random woman was at the end of our podcast last episode. Some thought it was a mistake. Some actually, I forget who it was. I think Tim Cree messaged me. He's like, was that Louise Gluck? And I was like, absolutely. That was what happened was, full disclosure, we had to record a little bit early last week to get the episode out. And then she passed away at the age of 80. And we wanted to acknowledge that some way. And as we heard on the big show yesterday, they did a full thing on it. Yeah. So that was like the best way I felt like I could sneak it in, you know, without having to re-record the section. And so that's what I did. I just stuck it. That was actually her reading one of her poems and or part of her poem, I should say. Mm-hmm. And I just picked one that I thought, you know, was kind of interesting and nice. And just it was a little tribute to her at the end of our last episode. And I think Tony said it best yesterday on his, you know, we acknowledge, but we don't make fun anymore because they used to kind of make fun of the situation, you know, her poetry and stuff like that, you know, acknowledging that, hello, she's won a Pulitzer, you know, or I believe that's what it was. But, you know, and that, like I said, that was just the best way I could think at the last second to acknowledge it and pay tribute to someone that's given us some fodder over the, you know, years. Now, I do want to tell a quick story about that. It was actually Dan Byrne, I believe episode 40. That actually wrote to me one time and he said, wouldn't it be cool if you could get Louise Gluck on the podcast? And part of me was like, well, would it? Because, you know, she's probably not a little, you know, we don't even know if she knows Tony or, you know, remembers Tony from going to school there and stuff. But I thought, you know what, we'll see what happens. You never know. So I actually did the work and got in touch with her representatives and things like that. And they actually replied and they said, now, who is this? And I said, you know, it's a podcast. You know, I mentioned Tony Kornheiser, how they went to school together, blah, blah, blah. And they actually wrote back and just politely said no. You know, they declined. And that was fine. And I wasn't going to push the envelope too much. I wasn't going to push the issue. So I actually forwarded the email to Dan and he was like, wow, that's cool, though, that you got in touch with their people. And I was like, yeah, no, we tried. And I thought it would be kind of interesting. But on the other hand, I was like, I'm not sure. I mean, look, it's like I'm not going to say no to an award-winning poet coming on the podcast. But, you know, we're the Loyal Littles podcast. So it would have been cool. But, you know, we did want to just pay a quick tribute. So we did that at the end. While we're on the RIPs, Suzanne Summers, 76.
Yeah.
This one kind of hit a little bit. You know, this one, I don't know how to explain it, but obviously watched a ton of Three's Company growing up. She was in a long battle of breast cancer for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she fought long and hard and did well with it. And then, you know, obviously it took a turn. And this one made me think, wow, I'm getting old, you know. And I was just like, you know, it just depends. You know, it's like when there's someone that you, even though John Ritter passed long before this. And but I remember him his hitting me hard, too. But speaking about getting old, Roxy.
Yeah.
Millennials, I have some stuff to say because one, they saved me. And two, I was just like, are you freaking kidding me? Okay. So down at the front desk, we have basically millennials. Well, you said they're not millennials, right?
Well, I was just going to ask, are you sure it's millennials and not Gen Z?
Okay. I don't know what Gen millennial, Gen Z, whichever. Okay.
I am a millennial. Anyone younger than me by a bunch of few years is Gen Z. And Gen Zers, let me tell you, they really tick me off.
Okay. How do they grind your gears, Roxy? Because that's what it sounds like.
Okay. Well, they're the ones that came out that, oh, you millennials with your side parts and your skinny jeans, you should be wearing center parts in your hair and baggy jeans. I'm like, I'm sorry. You are not going to tell me how to part my hair. I look completely different okay. person and terrible with the center part. And you will not tell me I need to get rid of my skinny jeans. Skinny jeans for life. Thank you.
Okay. Well, all I can say is they kind of saved me because that's definitely what this is. These two ladies could not have been older than, I don't know, 25 maybe.
Okay. That's, I think, Gen Z.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, yeah. I have two computers on tour with me. The one I do all the podcasting on, it's an old computer, okay? And I've tried numerous times to move to the new computer, and there's stories behind that, and some littles know those stories. But basically, we'd have to rebrand the podcast because the version right. of GarageBand on the new Mac does not have, you would think they would just add to it. They don't. They took away so many things that I use, like our opening yes. theme, the music we play under the bumpers that we have, and the new stuff. Maybe I'm totally off base and I just haven't found where those are in the new computer yet, but I don't think so because I've done some Google searches on it and other people have yep. complained about this. So yes. it's basically, we'd have to, like you, I think you said it best, we'd have to rebrand the podcast. And I just wasn't
yeah.
ready to do that yet because I kind of liked what we have. So the old computer, though, because I can't update the operating system, when you're traveling and you go to these hotels, you have to, most times, when you click on their internet, then you have to get to a web page to accept the terms
yes.
that they have before you can use the internet and connect to the internet. Well, because this browser is so old, that thing that pops up on the screen, now I can still get online and still go on websites and stuff like that, but whatever this is, it pops up on the screen automatically, and that is what I can't get through.
Yeah.
Like, it won't even come up to say, click here to accept nothing. It just gives me an error saying, I don't even remember what it says. But anyway, I nicely went downstairs because, you know, I knew we were going to have to drop the podcast. And I said to them, I said, is there, because sometimes they'll have, that's guest internet. And then sometimes they'll have their own private internet that maybe you don't. So basically, if it's a private internet like ours at home or wherever, you know, sometimes you don't need to do that stuff. I can just get on the internet. It's fine. But I've been having a lot of trouble in the hotels. And so they were like, no, I'm sorry. We all have the same internet, blah, blah, blah. But she's like, but there's this way to maybe trick it. And so she gets in her phone and does something. I don't even know what the hell she did. But she ends up typing this like code or website into my laptop and it brought me right to the internet. So
oh.
I was like, crisis averted. I love you. Thank you so much. And I had her write down, it has to do with Global Suites or something like that. I guess their own network. I don't know how it works, but she basically got it so I could bypass that login screen. So I was like, you rock. Okay, now I have internet on both computers, but I'm like, oh, it's getting late and I haven't eaten yet. So I'm like, well, maybe I know we had to record and stuff, a lot of editing to do. So I'm like, I'll just order something in. So I go downstairs. I said, do you know any places that deliver? Now, normally when you say that at a hotel, they're like, oh, sure. And they have a book. They pull the book out. They have all these different menus and you just pick what you want. You know, what do you want? Chinese, Italian, you know, whatever. Most people are like pizza, you know, whatever. No. They looked at me and said, well, DoorDash is your best bet or Uber Eats. And I'm like, look, at least I've heard of these things, but I don't have these things on my phone. I'm like, so what am I supposed to do here? And they're like, oh, well, I'm like, so you don't have like any menus or anything like that? And they're like, no. This is what I'm talking about with technology. I mean, so much thing. I mean, yeah, I'll just use my iPhone and pull up a map and, you know, get a, you know what I'm saying, though. I mean, I just miss the old days at the hotel where they'd have all these menus and you just call the number and you ask them to deliver something. You know, it's not
right.
that hard. That's not how it works anymore, Roxy. It's,
you got to get with the times, Chuck.
Well, come on, though. I mean, but what about, I'm not going to start that. What about the people that don't have the iPhones and all that stuff? Because I got in trouble last time. I'm not saying it's an age thing or whatever. I'm just saying, you know, there's got to be other ways. And I just remember the days, like I said, when you could just go down and ask for a menu and they had it.
Well, Chuck, I'm looking up DoorDash right now. And have you heard of Huddle House?
Is that like, yeah, it's a restaurant, right?
Yeah, okay. It looks like it's like a Waffle House.
Yeah, yeah, they're like a different chain, but yeah, they're not like, so, Huddle House is like more, I'd say like a Perkins, or it's kind of like a Denny, you know, it's more of a diner-esque. Because I don't really consider Waffle House a diner, but.
No, well, because they have, there's a picture here with it that has the waffle, almost like Waffle House, and it's got the imprint of, it says HH for Huddle House.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh. I wonder if that's
I don't know. I don't think they have those here. Maybe. I don't know. I'll have to look into it.
I looked up Owensboro, Kentucky, and Huddle House came up.
I love that you're doing this while we're on the podcast. That's
hilarious.
I'm
going to get you food.
I'll be all right. I'll figure it out, Roxy. All right, Roxy, quick update from you. How's things going there without me? I know you still miss me, right?
I miss you like crazy. I'm very concerned about you, and I wish you were here, and I wish I could help take care of you and all of the things. And yeah, but things are good. Rehearsals are great. I'm getting really excited for the season. So far, things are going really well. I'm having a lot of fun. And yeah.
We've already got Littles lined up to come see you. So that's nice.
I'm very excited about that.
Are you not going to tell your, are you not going to tell your story about who contacted you to get tickets?
Oh, yeah. Lorna Luft contacted me to get tickets for her.
And you were so nervous. I was like, let me text her husband. I'll text Colin and be
freaking.
Like... You were like, how do I respond? I was like, what are you talking about? I mean, I get it. That's kind of a big one for you.
Well, especially back then when I worked with her, I was so young and quiet and just like.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. I didn't know if she really remembered me. And maybe she does. Maybe she was just saying she does. But she was so, so sweet and gracious. And at the end of the call, she was like, we were saying goodbye. And she's like, love you, sweetie. I was like, oh, my God, I love you, too.
And I don't know, I thought maybe because I, you know, I did the tour with her three times. So I, you know, I know her pretty well and her husband and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you're excited because they also said they want, as soon as they're like, call us the week you get back from the tour and let's get together. So you were excited about that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
We adore them. They're both
nice. So sweet and gracious and just lovely and all of the nice things. And it was really sweet to talk to her.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, we'll have to try to hook them up for sure. But let's get out of here. We've got a great Meet the Littles guest. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
We are Norwegian Soft Kitten, and you're listening to Chuck and Roxy on the Loyal Littles podcast. Because you're cool.
I wish I could get out of my mind and see things like you. Maybe then I'd understand all the things you do. We've all got.
We are being played in this episode by Bertrand's Wish. And this song is called Tell Me All. Now, if you like what you hear, the easiest way to find their stuff is they're just all over the place. Spotify, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, TuneBubble, Apple Music. Just search Bertrand's Wish. That's Bertrand's Wish. And as always, we will play the full song, Tell Me All, at the end of the podcast. All right, all you loyal Littles, it's now time to
meet the Littles.
And Roxy.
Chuck.
Another one. We're having a day here.
I mean.
Full disclosure, we've done like three of these today.
I'm very excited to find out more because.
Well, we talk off air.
Yes.
And I was even like, hello, we haven't hit record yet.
But this person saw me perform at
Wagner. They did. Exactly. In college.
In Brigadoon. One of my favorites.
Right. So Roxy's not going to bury that lead.
No.
Why don't we ask him about it? Please welcome to the podcast, Kevin Maroney. Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
I'm good, Chuck and Roxy. How are y'all?
We're great. I'm excited now. I want to know more.
Should we jump right to that, or should we let the poor guy introduce himself?
Let him introduce himself.
All right, Kevin.
No, let's talk about Roxy.
No. Take a second. Introduce yourself to all the Loyal Littles out there. Tell us a little something about yourself.
Sure. I mean, going way back, I grew up in New York on Long Island, as many of the Loyal Littles did, and went to school, graduated from Seton Hall University in South Orange, New Jersey. I was fortunate to be there during the final 4 years. I was an academic tutor for the basketball team, and I got an MBA at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and then worked in the for-profit world for a while, startups and whatnot, large companies, but then started working in nonprofit organizations, moved around quite a bit, worked for some startups that failed, because that's what they tend to do. Mm-hmm. And then we found ourselves in Western Massachusetts, where I started working with a community theater because my son at the time was rather young, decided he wanted to be a movie star. And I said, I don't know anything about that, but we have a pretty good community theater here if you want to do that. And so he did, which meant that I got involved because parents get involved.
Yep. Sure.
And then actually found myself on the stage. I was in The Producers. I was in Hamlet. I was in The Winter's Tale.
Wow.
And I was sort of the non-equity guy in equity shows in Western Massachusetts. And then just made the switch over and started working in administration in nonprofit theaters.
Oh, wow.
Well, first of all,
that's quite a resume.
Well, I was going to say, first of all, let's give a shout out. What's the community theater?
So the community theater is Jaduke is the name of the community theater. It's in Turner's Falls, Massachusetts. That's where we did The Producers.
Mm-hmm.
The Hampshire Shakespeare Company in Amherst, Massachusetts is where we did Hamlet and The Winter's Tale. And which, as an aside on that, by the way, the young man who played Hamlet at the time was 17 years old, which people thought was crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he was amazing. And actually right now, he's in the cast on Broadway of The Book of Mormon.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
Excellent.
Yeah. P.J. Adzema is his name. He plays Elder McKinley.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
In Book of Mormon right now.
Wonder if he plays on the softball team.
Yeah.
They took us out of the playoffs this year. I'm a little upset at them. But no.
Is it?
No, it's funny that you said that, because when you listed off those shows, that was the first I had it written down, a question. I was like, that's such a diverse schedule of, so it was different theaters, mm-hmm, though. Mm-hmm. For a theater to do Producers and then Hamlet,
right,
or whatever,
right,
the other, Winter's Tale, whatever, mm-hmm, the other one you said, I was like, wow, that's impressive. But it was different theater, which makes sense.
Yeah.
That totally tracks.
But that's so cool you got involved and then you started performing yourself.
But I love that he just subtly says, so I went from that and I transitioned into marketing. You know, like, okay, all
right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Well, the thing about that is that I never wanted to be the person on the stage,
mm-hmm,
in the spotlight. I can do it, but I don't have to do it. I think you both agree that there are people in this world that have to do it.
Yes.
And so my approach was always, how can I best facilitate that? And really, because of my business and marketing background and business development background, actually helping from the administrative side made more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I did when I went to Baltimore Center Stage.
Oh,
and
I
worked there, worked directly for the managing director. They made up titles for me. It was pretty cool. Kwame Kwarama was the artistic director at the time. I don't know if you've ever met him or had an opportunity to work with him, but he's amazing. He's one of my favorite human beings. But right now he went back to London and he's the artistic director of the Young Vic in London. But it was great being there. And then I actually managed the theater in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And then a thing called the pandemic hit, which was not a lot of fun.
Not at all.
So I actually went to school. I went to the University of Connecticut at that time just to do some advanced graduate study, I call it. And then had an opportunity to come here, which I'm talking to you from Stanton, Virginia, in the Blue Ridge Mountains in the Shenandoah Valley. I came here to work at the American Shakespeare Center. And that lasted about a year. And now I am the director of development for the local affiliate of Habitat for Humanity.
Wow. What was that transition?
You know, I happened to have the opportunity in working in the community to meet some of the folks that were connected with Habitat.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I think my theater career had run its course. We'll put it that way.
Uh-huh.
Had enough of theater and there was this opportunity to work at Habitat. And so I switched over this summer and started working. Essentially, the job is the same. It's working with the community, talking about important issues and getting people to be involved, cultivating those relationships. It's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
But the mission for Habitat is literally about helping build houses and helping people buy houses who could not otherwise do it. And that is such a basic need that it kind of takes precedence over a lot of other issues.
Yep.
So that's what I do.
That's wonderful.
So interesting.
Yeah.
All right. But now can you actually go into the habitat, that whole thing? Like, what exactly does all that involve?
Sure. Basically, what it involves is that Habitat for Humanity raises money, provides the funding to build houses, and those houses we sell actually to folks in the community who meet a certain income threshold. So there, but it's called the AMI, average median income. If you're between 40 and 80% of the average median income, and then do all the things that are needed within the program, meaning you take the classes that you need to take and you do the volunteer hours that you need to do, then you have an opportunity to buy this house for the payment will never exceed 30% of your income.
Oh, wow.
So Okay. Obviously there's some left over when someone's paying 30% of their income, there's still more mortgage that needs to get paid. So basically what Habitat does essentially guarantees that portion of the mortgage for as long as the folks are in the house making their payments. And then when that house gets sold, whether they sell it to a family member or whomever, then that's when Habitat gets its piece back, so to speak.
Oh, I see.
Gotcha.
So there are a lot of misconceptions. In my short time at Habitat, I've found that there are misconceptions. People think that we use volunteers to build homes. We don't. We actually use professional contractors, that mm-hmm. we build substandard homes or cheap homes. We don't. We build nice homes, that we give the homes away. We don't. People buy the homes and make payments on the homes, or that we essentially give homes to homeless people. We do not. You have to live and work in the area for at least a year before you qualify to get into the program. So there's a lot of misconceptions about it. And sure. Essentially, the way that I look at it, the truth of the matter is my wife and I have our home to a large degree because when her Aunt Marie passed away, the wonderful Aunt Marie, she left us a chunk of money that we could put down on a house. And if you don't have an Aunt Marie, then how do you buy a house?
Yeah.
Right.
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 So basically what we do is we Habitat in effect function as Aunt Marie, and then give people the opportunity to build up the equity, be able to pass it on to their family or invest it in another house when they sell it and move. And it's such a basic need, right? Just shelter, home, not even just the house, the structure itself, but the concept of home and having a reliable, safe, comfortable home. So it's really very cool to be able to work in that environment and help bring that about.
Now, permission to ask some really dumb questions?
Ask away.
I mean, I am Chuck here. Well, no, I've always been curious. Now, is this basically what President Carter was always helping out with? Is that his program
Correct.
As well?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
It's one of the reasons for the misconception is because what people will remember is Jimmy Carter swinging a hammer to help him build a house. And there are some affiliates, I think, that still kind of operate that way. We don't, you know, I don't think that you would want, as nice as they are, and they are, but I don't think you would want a bunch of volunteers from a church group or a community group to come and build your house.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
I don't think you would want that.
No, right.
Right.
I think you want a professional. And so we use professional contractors and we pay them for their time and their materials to build them. But gotcha. Yes. Jimmy Carter has done tremendous work for Habitat and letting people know about it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, now, again, I know beggars can't be choosy, all that kind of stuff. Now, are these like cookie cutter homes, as they say, or do they have any input in the process of designing the home or anything like that?
There's actually, this is not my area of expertise, but they are not cookie cutters. They have not to date really been cookie cutters. There are many similarities. There can be options that can be chosen by the family. Not a tremendous amount. You know, it's not like you go into a builder and you know, you buy all the super upgrades. That's not really the thing.
Sure. Right.
One of the reasons why I'm hesitant in my answer is because the next project that we're doing, which is unusual for us, but I think it's the wave of the future, will actually, because they've always been standalone houses. Mm-hmm. We're going to do townhouses because it's cheaper. I don't mean cheaper, aka the cost per square foot is less because you have the economies of scale when you're doing 20 units at once and they're all attached to each other and they can share walls and some other things.
Well, that's kind of why I was asking, because obviously there's a big difference between a 6-person family, you know, needing housing, or a 3-person family.
Right.
So I didn't know if, you know, if you have a bigger family, you'll need more bedrooms, bathrooms. Yeah. That kind of, I just didn't understand. I don't know how it all works. So it's just all intriguing.
Yeah.
So
normally there are 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms, but they can be adjusted to your point. depending upon the needs of the size of the family and the needs of the family.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
So interesting.
Also, too, question, do they choose the location of these new builds, or is there, is that, I mean, is the town, the city, they're obviously involved, I would think, right?
Oh, right. Habitat acquires the land and then goes from there. But like this project that I'm talking about, the city of Stanton sold us the property for $1, if I'm not mistaken. So by the way, that makes sense for the town to do it, for the city to do it, because now this land that is just sitting there unoccupied will turn into revenue generating, tax revenue generating property for the city. It's not a bad idea for the city to support something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we've got a lot more to get into, obviously, but we need to take a quick break. All right. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And we're lucky enough to have Kevin Maroney with us. Now, Littles, before we move on to the other stuff, I had to read this on the form. It says, you would love to talk about habitat and the meaning of life, if we have time. That's the direct quote. So, sure, we have some time.
What is the meaning of life?
What would you like to talk about?
Well, you know, it's one of the things in working with habitat, I think a lot about this, but it occurs to me that really the meaning of life, the reason that we're here, is to help other people. And to the extent that you do that, your life is going to be happy. Your life is going to be rewarding. So to me, that's the answer to the question. What is the meaning of life? Is helping other people. Worry about doing that, and everything else is going to work out well for you.
Well said.
Beautiful.
It's literally not about getting credit for it or you're getting notoriety for it. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not even holding myself up as an example. I am simply saying that when it comes down to it, it occurs to me in my time on this earth that that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's about how much you help other people.
Yeah. Being a good human.
Hear that, New York City?
I know, right?
Learn something.
Right?
No, really, we love it here. Absolutely.
Sure.
All right. Well, let's get into your TK fandom and all that stuff.
So, I mean, having grown up in New York, I'm very familiar with character, so to speak, of the prototype of Tony Kornheiser. It's kind of grouch, seemingly gruff guy who's really not that gruff. And so I became aware of him, you know, sports reporters on ESPN, obviously PTI on ESPN. I have to say, I originally wrote to you, Chuck and Roxy, and said, am I allowed to be on this? Because I wasn't sure what the criteria were for being a little.
Yeah.
Because I can't say that I've done a deep dive into the Tony Kornheiser show for the last 20 years, but I certainly have for the last 4 or 5 years, certainly when the pandemic came around and it's like, you got to do something with your time. And my wife would always wonder, what the hell are you listening to? Like, who is this guy? Why are you listening to this? Because to the untrained ear, perhaps, it sounds like not what it is, right?
Right.
It sounds like it's not fun and funny and actually intelligent. There's a lot of intelligent conversation happens over the course of the show and with a lot of really smart people talking about interesting things. And the gruffness or whatever is basically an act. You know, it's a character. It doesn't really mean anything. But I grew up with that character, you know, growing up in New York. So it's actually kind of familiar and comforting to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I just listen. My brother Michael listens all the time as well. So sometimes we have some interaction and talk a little bit about it. He was the first one that called when my email was read on the episode of the big show. He called me and actually asked me at that point. He's like, are you qualified to be on with Chuck and Roxy now? And
I said,
I don't have any idea.
Well, we'll have to get him on, too.
I was
going
to say, now you get to tell him to eat it. So take the time, tell him to eat it. And, you know, now you have a Chuck and Roxy number and he doesn't. So
right, exactly. Exactly. I mean,
yeah, now, tell him, no pressure, but our first brother combination, I believe, was Michael and Steve Sands.
Yes.
So no pressure there.
Oh.
You know, that's...
Oh. Well, so this past weekend, we were up in D.C., went to see a show. A friend was performing at the Ford's Theater. Mm. And on the way back on Monday morning, my wife had to travel, so I was on my own. But I actually made a pilgrimage. I stopped at Bethesda Bagels and picked up breakfast. And then I went to Calvert Woodley just to see La Chiserie.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy working there was like, you know, can I help you? And I said, no, I just felt like I needed to make a pilgrimage. And he just kind of looked at me like, you're an idiot. And
no, I'm a little. I mean, come on.
I did want to stop and see Evelyn and get my vaccines, but I checked and they didn't have any appointments available.
Oh, too bad.
Well, I mean, come on. This guy, Lachizer, it can't be any crazier than some guy walking in with a guitar and start playing songs, right? Come on. You'd think they'd be used to it by now. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe he was a newbie.
Maybe.
That's what I thought, that he might engender some conversation, but it didn't.
Yeah. They have to prep these people. If they're hiring new people to come in and work they have to prep them for this.
Yeah. I mean, and it might not have been a new person. Who knows?
Maybe not.
But he was just like, you know, they're just, I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, whatever.
He was unimpressed. I can tell you that. He was unimpressed.
Aw.
All right, now let's rip the Band-Aid off just in case. Now, you said you grew up in New York. What's your favorite sport? Where's your fandom lie?
So my favorite sport as a spectator has to be baseball. It's kind of funny because I stopped playing baseball relatively early and switched to lacrosse. Mm. But I like watching baseball. My fandom, I have a generational answer to that question because my father grew up with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I grew up with the Mets. My son, we lived in New England, and my son and I, technically it wasn't the first Major League Baseball game we went to, but the first one that he was really aware of what we were doing was the Fenway. And so he's a Red Sox fan.
Nice.
So I kind of have claims on all of those.
Okay.
And we've moved around enough that, you know, my attitude is wherever I am, I would like the teams to do well.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not good. The Yankees. Cool.
Right.
Definitely not the Yankees.
Great.
That's all that really matters to Roxy. I mean, let's call it what it is. But
I mean, that's great.
No, I mean, look, hey, we wish them well in the off season, just like us. I mean, you know, we're hitting the golf course the same time this year.
I would also say, I feel like I should say about the Yankees, some individual players are just amazing. And, you know, so Mariano Rivera comes to mind, Derek Jeter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are guys that you don't like to play against because they were so good.
Yep. Mm.
But you like watching them play because they were so good.
Yep.
Right.
So,
yeah. All right. Well, listen,
yes.
Can't thank you enough for coming on to Meet the Littles. Now, as you know, we have some fun, dumb questions for you. We hope that's okay.
Sure.
All right. What is the greatest invention of all time?
The greatest invention of all time, I would say, is the automobile.
That's a good one. All right. Would you rather have the ability to control the weather or the ability to talk to animals?
I would love to talk to animals.
Hmm.
Me too. Yeah,
I think they have a lot to tell us.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They see a lot.
Yeah. Well, when we ask that question, of course, the first one that comes to mind is Chessie.
Yeah.
We would like to know exactly
what goes through Chessie's mind.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Reginald.
She's probably sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
All right. Would you rather win an Olympic medal, an Academy Award, or the Nobel Peace Prize?
I would say that's not as easy as it sounds at first.
Right.
I would say an Olympic medal.
Okay.
Hmm. Actually, my brother Mike and I went to the 1996 Olympics Atlanta.
Oh, cool.
You know, as spectators.
Yeah.
Specifically, and
we
picked
events.
Yeah, just to be clear, I specifically went because I wanted to see somebody win a gold medal. Mm. Like, I didn't care where they were from.
Yeah.
I just wanted to watch and sort of be a part of somebody actually attaining that goal that you know that they have shed blood, sweat, and tears in order to get there.
Yep.
And it was really cool.
Right.
So,
what was that?
So we went to the men's soccer gold medal game.
Oh, great.
I'm sure you remember Nigeria beat Argentina.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Ran the tip of my
tongue. They were big underdogs. And
oh, were they? See, actually, I didn't even know. Okay.
The Nigerian team was Nigerian fans were so wonderful that we just decided, like on the spur of the moment, that we were Nigerian.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we cheered for them. Oh, and they won.
Well, that's amazing. What a lot of people do. They always cheer for the underdog.
Yeah.
Everyone likes an underdog story.
Mm-hmm.
And especially those Olympics because of, you know, what went down. You weren't around for that, I hope.
Well, we were not around for the bombing. Yeah. We were there after. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that it was still able to go on and continue. Obviously, it dampened it, but it didn't, you know, cancel it, I guess is what
correct.
I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, what's one movie you love so much that you know you will be best friends with another person just by them loving it as well?
You know, I like quirky movies. So I think that the answer to this question will be something like Being John Malkovich.
Oh, okay.
Or there's another one in a similar vein was Jojo Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But it's just, you kind of look at the premise of it and you think, that's just insane. Like, why would someone even make this movie? But if you just sit back and you let it wash over you, it's really pretty incredible.
I don't think I've seen that one. Have you?
No.
No. We might have to add that to our list.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
Jojo Rabbit or Being John Malkovich. I'd probably start with Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Excellent.
Kind of going off the movie theme, who would play you in a movie of your life?
I think Philip Seymour Hoffman would be a good choice if he was still around.
Yeah. That was a sad one.
I know.
2014. Yeah. I'll never forget
it.
That's one of my biggest regrets. He was doing Death of a Salesman live here in New York, and I never went to see it. And that's one of the ones. Of course, I didn't anticipate him not being around.
Right.
But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's funny. That one hit me for some reason that year.
Well, and it gets to one of the rules that I have as my kids were growing up, I guess I would say, that my attitude was if we have an opportunity to go see someone who is going to be an immortal or in the Hall of Fame, then we're going to go.
Yeah.
So, like, I took my 14-year-old son to see George Carlin, and people were saying, "You're crazy." And I said, "Who knows how long he's going to be around?" And he literally was only around a couple of more months after we saw him.
You are touching upon some stuff with me today. No, because that's such a weird... I was on High School Musical. Don't judge. Our conductor...
My son was in High School Musical. Played Troy Bolton.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
nice.
Great.
Yeah. But we were on tour in Vegas, and it was coming towards the end of the tour, and I was so angry about this. Sorry to hijack your episode here. Because we tried to set up... We wanted to get him something nice as like a closing tour. We didn't get him anything yet. I said, "Guys, he's one of the biggest George Carlin fans on this planet. He's in town. Let's get him a ticket." We had the whole thing set up where the associate conductor was voluntarily going to conduct the performance so that he wouldn't even have to like take a, quote, day off. Because normally what would happen is if that happened, then standby would get a bump to, you know, they'd have to pay extra.
Right.
Okay.
Right, right.
So we had it all worked out. We had everything covered. Company management wouldn't let us do it. They were like, "Nope, if he goes, he has to take a day off." And we're like, "But no, it's covered. The company doesn't have to pay anybody extra, nothing." They're like, "Nope, can't do it." So we didn't end up going that. We ended up getting him like DVD box sets of George Carlin and then he died literally a month later.
Ugh.
I was so angry. Like to say he could have gotten to see him right before he died.
Right.
You know, sorry, you hit a nerve there.
I saw George Carlin three times live. And each time laughed harder than I ever remembered laughing.
Yeah. Yep.
And I can't even tell you why. I can't tell you what he said.
Right.
But because I can't remember.
Well, it's partly the delivery.
And he's a great philosopher, I have to say.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more. If you could be a cartoon character for a week, who would you want to be?
So my favorite growing up, Johnny Quest.
Ah, okay.
Ah.
Remember Johnny Quest?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So just lots of adventure, lots of fun. I think there probably, if I haven't seen it in a long time, there's probably some questionable things about it that we're going to have to overlook. But just for the adventure and the fun aspect of things and the overcoming obstacles, Johnny Quest.
Yeah. Nice.
I think Roxy was lying there.
No, I've definitely heard of Johnny
Quest. You've heard of it, but you've never really...
I don't know if I've seen it.
Because I barely ever saw it. It was on when I... But I know it well.
Yeah.
But yeah. No. That's a good one, though. All right.
Yeah.
Roxy, rapid fire.
All right. Smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Candy corn. Yay or nay?
I say no.
Okay. We're doing that seasonal one.
Yeah.
It was suggested by another little. They're like, "You need to add this."
Right.
Okay. All right.
Coke or Pepsi?
Absolutely. Coke.
Brady Bunch or Partridge Family?
Brady Bunch.
Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie?
I'm going to have to go with Bewitched.
Okay.
Samantha. Samantha wins.
Oh, Chuck knows.
Little twinkle nose.
Let's stay with it. Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper?
Mr. Roper.
All right.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
All right. Uranus jokes, not funny or never not funny?
Uranus is always funny.
Excellent. All right. Well, Kevin, thank you so much again for coming on to Meet the Littles. Is there anything we can plug for you? And how can people get in touch with you if you want to be gotten in touch with?
I'm pretty easy to find at it's the Stanton Augusta Waynesboro Habitat for Humanity is the name of our affiliate in Stanton, Virginia. Stanton, by the way, has a U in it, so you might think it's pronounced Staunton, but it's not. It's pronounced Stanton.
Information for life.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sure that it was a way to be able to identify outsiders.
Yeah,
probably.
Back in the day.
Are you on Twitter or is there a website or anything like that?
Our habitat website is SAWH hfh.org.
Okay.
Stanton Augusta Waynesboro, habitatforhumanity.org. I am on, not really on Twitter. I do have an Instagram, No Not Seems, something like that, which is actually from Hamlet.
Ah. All right. Well, we'll make sure we put all that in the show notes. And as an homage to the Big Show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Over.
Excellent.
Under is barbaric.
I agree. Roxy, not so much.
I'm adaptable.
Miss Adaptable over here.
Yes.
But yeah, I agree. I'm with you. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. We really appreciate the time.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. And hello.
Should I tell Michael to eat it?
Yeah, you should tell him to eat it.
All right, Michael, eat it.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And thank you, Kevin, for coming on to Meet the Littles. Always a good time. So many coincidences. Him seeing you in college and just all the George Carlin stuff. Just a good time. All right, now we know what that music means. It means we had to sadly lose another person in the Loyal Littles Podcast Fantasy Football League. And unfortunately, this week it is the Great Zucchini. Yes, the Great Zucchini was playing in the Loyal Littles Podcast Fantasy Football League, otherwise known as the Guillotine League, where one person gets chopped every week. And unfortunately, this week it was Mr. Zucchini. So thanks for playing, and it's like we barely knew you. I mean, it's so sad when this happens, but we had to lose someone, and this week it is the Great Zucchini. So thanks for playing. And Roxy, before we get to the emails, I believe you had a save the date, right?
I do.
Now, we hesitate, but he gave us full permission to do this, and he created his flyer and all that stuff. But I don't know. Good luck with this. Go ahead, Roxy.
Okay. This is from Howie Stoopsie Stoops, episode 199 from Laurel, Maryland. Hey, Chuck and Roxy. It's that time again for the 9th annual Stoopsie's Bourbon and Barbecue on October 28th. And of course, just like always, everyone from your pod is invited. I have a large kitchen and a gigantic single sink so you can have a great vantage point to sip a bourbon and sample all the delicious food and enjoy the festivities. Some of your favorite bourbons, Angel's Envy and Woodford Reserve, will be on hand. There will also be some of my favorites for you to sample. I sure hope some of you can make it. Howie Stoopsie Stoops, Chuck and Roxy, number 199.
No, you didn't do the Stoopsie Stoops like you did the first time.
Stoopsie! <okay. laughs>
Now, I'm just worried that, well, we'll see. He gave us permission to read it, and that's great. I'm just, okay, we'll see. I know a couple people already that are going, and I wish we could be there. We're going to have to figure out another time when we can get. I know you have rehearsal at this time of the year every year, but I'm telling you now, Roxy, if I'm not doing anything next year, I might be going without you. Cause
it's fine. I see this gigantic single sink someday.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he could send us pictures. But, you know, going back to the last episode with Phil, you know, I love the connective tissue. I've always said that. That's what Tony talks about all the time. You know, we heard from Brian Kissel, episode 173. He said, Jonasburg was my father's hometown. My grandfather worked in the paper mill for most of his life. We made many trips up there from Maryland to visit the grandparents, as well as my aunt and uncle and cousins in Ridgeway, Pennsylvania. And, you know, I just always love the chatter. You know, when I'll post the episode and then people will listen and then they start going, oh my gosh, my so-and-so's from there. Or, hey, do you know this place? Or, you know, that kind of stuff. It just, that's what I love about doing this podcast is, you know, like Tony says, the connective tissue. It's just, it's always fun to see. Now, it's not really connective tissue, but I've never seen so many people lose their minds over Buc-ee's. All right, let me rephrase that. They're not losing their minds, but we got so many emails about Buc-ee's and I love it. Okay, so here we go. Chuck, been to several Buc-ee's in my travels, can verify some have over 100 pumps. They're actually opening a brand new one in Springfield, Missouri. You could get Tiny Chuck to be the third wheel. Brian Muller, episode 167. Of course, that means he's harping for us to do a live podcast from Buc-ee's in Springfield, Missouri. Don Hammock, episode 68. Chuck and Roxy, you should definitely check out a Buc-ee's when you get a chance. It's a cultural experience for sure. We're getting the first one in Mississippi, not far from me. And the infrastructure improvements required have caused some nightmare traffic jams on the interstate.
The only thing I'll point out is it's not a truck stop. They don't allow 18-wheelers to keep it more of a family experience. Now, that I find very interesting because now I think it's a brilliant concept. Like all these truck stops like Pilots, Loves, all these, you know, major name truck stops. Now they have basically a stop or a car stop, I guess you could call it, for just cars. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
I think it's very clever. I really do. Yeah. All right. So here's another one. The largest Buc-ee's has 120 gas pumps. The largest Buc-ee's is 74,000 square feet. 18-wheelers are banned at Buc-ee's, so it's a car stop, not a truck stop. The beef jerky counter is awesome. The barbecue brisket sandwich is excellent. You have to go to one. Smitty Scoop, episode 62. Then we heard from Joe Maloney, episode 73. He says, enjoyed the recent chatter about Buc-ee's. Kind of surprised you never encountered one in Texas. Hard to imagine a road trip down there without a bag of beaver nuggets. But you're definitely heading in the wrong direction now to hit one. If you do end up heading back towards Nashville and went east to Crossville, there's one there. And depending on how you're leaving Owensboro for Ohio, there's one south of Lexington in Richmond, Kentucky. But that's it. I saw that one on a map, though, and we're not going that way, unfortunately. He said, but one thing Buc-ee's is not is a truck stop. Yeah, there are 100-plus gas pumps and a Walmart-sized convenience store, barbecue pit, bakery, restroom extravaganza, whatever that is. But 18-wheelers aren't welcome. Oh, and I nearly killed myself laughing hysterically on how your foot massage story went so very sideways. Better get home soon, Chuck. Joe, 73, not the top 20 number, but definitely top 10.
Nice.
All right, then we heard from Bill Scudiere, episode 253. The recent Tim Kirchin-inspired discussion surrounding The Bullwinkle Show has brought back some great memories. Tim is absolutely correct that the animated show was more for adults than kids. It remains one of the best satires on the Cold War era. The adventures of Moose and Squirrel versus Boris and Natasha were thinly disguised stand-ins for the U.S. and the USSR. When I taught a Cold War elective to my middle school students, I played some of The Bullwinkle Show to illustrate how pop culture reflected the real world. There is an excellent book about The Bullwinkle Show if anyone is interested in learning more about this clever program. It's called The Moose That Roared, the story of Jay Ward, Bill Scott, a flying squirrel, and a talking moose. That's the full title. And it's by Keith Scott. And I'm wondering if we can get that Aaron's books. I don't know. It says, keep well and enjoy your odyssey with the show. Bill Scudiere. Now, we might have to go back because I don't remember it that well. Now, you said you've seen it, right?
No, I was never really into it.
And see, I don't know if I was either, to be honest. Now, do you just think that was a generation thing? Because, like, your brother wasn't into it either, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a generation thing or if it was I was too busy thing.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I mean, because, you know, you definitely watched cartoons as a kid, though.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Brother, especially.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if, I don't know, maybe we'll have to go back and watch at least a few episodes. Because I don't, you know, I remember watching it, but it was more like it kind of was in the background sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when you're a kid, you remember like appointment viewing, like Looney Tunes, all the Bugs Bunny stuff.
Right.
The Smurfs for me, that was my generation. You know, you were focused. You know, you did not miss an episode. You knew everything that happened in those episodes and you were just there. Yeah. Your parents knew like, okay, you weren't going to get into trouble because it's on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. All right. Now I want to end with this one, Roxy, because this was so cute. Okay. It says, Dear Chuck, loyal little in Michigan near Ann Arbor. If any transportation, lodging needed, just let us know. We're close to Tony's age, so we go way back knowledge-wise. Hope to see you soon, Deb and Ron Rutherford. By the way, I'm an RN still working and feel Tony's pain with Cigna. So, Deb and Ron, thank you for that. And we will definitely get in touch. Let's at least get together. We're covered. Thank you for the offer. We're covered. They put us up and stuff like that for the tour. But I would love to definitely meet up maybe and grab a coffee or whatever. And then we have to discuss about a Chuck and Roxy number. So yeah. I'm wondering, are they both littles or is it just, I mean, it looks like this came from Deb, but it says Deb and Ron Rutherford. So I don't know if they're both littles or I don't know. Maybe they could do the interview at the truck stop with me. I don't know.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
I don't know that there's a truck stop in Ann Arbor, but you know.
Or you mean car stop.
Oh, car. Well, there's definitely not a Buc-ee's up there. That I know. They're only in the South, but they are expanding, obviously. Well, wait, they're in Springfield, though. This is what's so weird to me, is if they're so amazing, why aren't they all over the place?
Maybe it's oversaturation.
I mean, maybe. I was of the understanding that they started in Texas, and now they're kind of expanding, because then Don Hammack, you know, writing in saying they're building one there, and the one we were going to go to was in Louisiana, and now we just found out there's one in Springfield, Missouri. So that's what I mean. It's like, I'm not so sure. Yeah. Huh. But we find that with other chains. Like, there's not Waffle Houses up in New York. Or maybe there is, just not near us. But you know what I mean. Waffle Houses aren't everywhere kind of thing.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not in Connecticut.
Yep. All right. And then I wanted to discuss one last thing before we get out of here. You know, because obviously I listen to The Big Show. And people are having fun with us, Roxy. Now, I don't know if they're being sarcastic. I don't know if they're mocking us. I'm curious, though. Okay. Well, we heard, you know, Robert Lowe, it says, Robert Lowe is very specific from North Royalton, Ohio, and he keeps saying he's episode 5 and 11, okay, which is a Big Show reference, okay? So clearly that's not the case. And then Daniel Washman from Damascus, Maryland. Now, hello, what up? Do you know Dina? Dina, do you know this guy?
Right.
And he says he's hoping to be episode 940. Now, I don't know, man. Do you think we're going to make it to 940, Roxy?
If we make it through the next 5 weeks, then I think we make it to 940.
Well, I have some good news for you, Roxy.
What?
It's only 4 weeks now.
Is it?
Yeah, I'll be home in a month.
I thought I counted 5 more Sundays.
Well, I don't know how that works, but it's 4 more weeks. Because I've been out for 2 weeks, so it was going to be 6 weeks. So I'm doing the math. That's easy math for me.
I hope so. I need you home.
Well, I don't know. It's just so my question, though, for Daniel is what's so big about 940? Am I missing something there? And the whole 5-11 thing, is he mocking us? That's what I want to know. I have a feeling 5-11, I don't know, that's going to be a special one. Obviously, if we ever hit 3,000, that'll be special. There's some special numbers, but 940, am I missing something? Or that just happens to be like your favorite number? I don't know. I'm genuinely curious, but
maybe it's just random.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Well, that's all the time we have. Let's get out of here and tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
You can go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need to know is over there. And don't forget your Toy Hall of Fame entry.
Yes. Are we going to do a Google form? We should probably. We got like 3 weeks left. We could do a Google form. Maybe we'll do that. I'll try to get on that. This way we can just start posting it. And we've gotten quite a few entries, but you know, we want as many people to participate as possible. So maybe that'll make it easier. But get your Toy Hall of Fame entries in. Great prizes, not mediocre, decent prizes for this one. This is one of our bigger contests that we do every year now, it seems. This is our second annual, right?
It is.
Yeah, we did this last year. So yeah, so we'll get you a good prize out. And also, if you do listen to us on iTunes and Apple, please, please, please give us a nice rate and review. Or if you would like to switch over to Spotify and follow us over there, that's helpful too. And that's an inside joke. Spotify is dogging us now, Roxy, because we only have, I forget how many. We have quite a few hundred, but you know, they're Spotify only. And so now because Anchor switched over to Spotify, they're no longer giving us our penny per play. But yeah, so I guess we just didn't have as many. You know, the listenership is still there. It's just there are only certain ones are Spotify. So that sucked. But anyway, it is what it is. Doesn't matter. We don't care. As long as you're listening to us, Littles, you listen to us wherever you want. And we'll be back next time with a great episode, another Little, and some more fun and some more interesting stories, hopefully about life on the road with Chuck. And we'll find out where Roxy is with the rehearsal process and where they're going. Mm-hmm. When do you start tech?
Not until, I believe, November 3rd.
Okay, so you got some time. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, cool. All right, well, that's all the time we have. Just remember, if you are out shopping online tonight,
don't forget to.
Wise men say, use the code.
What the hell are you listening to?
Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
He's a great philosopher.
Oh, yeah.